depending upon the Lord for help, I direct your attention to Matthew 17 and reading verse 8. Matthew 17 and reading verse 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. What a blessed spot that is. Though sunk so low, though we may feel insignificance, when thus we find ourselves aroused by a touch from Jesus, that touch penetrates all circumstances. That touch, it goes straight to the heart. That touch gives that amount of courage to lift up our eyes and to see Jesus and Jesus only. But we read here, and when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Could it please the Lord even today that he might lift up our eyes by precious faith? For faith that is real, faith that is genuine, will act according to its nature. It looks to no one else than the Lord Jesus Christ. What a test for our faith, whatever our circumstances it might be, to lift up our eyes and see no man save Jesus only. What did they see in Jesus only, friends? They saw Jesus still in complete control of all their circumstances. They saw Jesus as the eternal Son of God, as they heard that voice from heaven, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This was never said of any other. No, not even John the Baptist, who leaped in his mother's womb at the salutations of Mary concerning the birth and conceiving the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus only, the Son of God. Let us never forget this, that though Jesus was born of a woman, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. A wonderful work of Almighty God. It was indeed according to that agreement that the eternal three made with to save his people from their sins. Yes, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it was Jesus only they agreed to come into this world to stand in the place and stead of those that were condemned because of their sin, that he would suffer in their place and stead. Friend, no one else could stand in his place either. Friend, it was Jesus only. There was nothing to be added to this. No, indeed, we cannot make any contribution for the putting away of our sins ourselves. We need to have this clear in our hearts and mind, because if we think that we can make some contribution, or some man can make some contribution, then we are looking at a salvation which is only partial, not a full salvation. For all will fail other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do want to make this point, to cover myself here, with regards to salvation. Jesus Christ, my friends, he doesn't do anything by little pieces or in part. It's Jesus only, and he alone can cleanse his people from their sin. It was Jesus only, my friend, who suffered, bled, and died at Calvary. It was Jesus only who heard those, all we hear those solemn words springing from, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Ah, and that was so, wasn't it? When thus Jesus knew that he must die, when thus the clouds, the sky was darkened, his Father's face turned away from him, there he was bearing the entire weight, all the weight of what his people should suffer and endure to a never-ending eternity for sin. He bore it completely, my friend. At Calvary, he bore it for his people. It was Jesus only. And only Jesus, my friends, could do this, could he? I often quote these lines, I know, but it's true. There was no other good enough to take away our sins. No, there was no other that could bear the sins of his people. Only Jesus. My friend, listen. And who is it besides Jesus that came down from heaven into this world? Why, there has been no other, and I don't believe there will be another. It is Jesus only. But there's a great depth of teaching here, and a great depth of inquiry needed here. I say, what wondrous love is that a man should lay down his life even for his friend. It has been known. But I say, Jesus had such a love to his people. He not only laid down his life for his people, but he gave them eternal life. Oh yes, we need to remember this. I give unto my sheep eternal life. Jesus only can give you this. Is there some poor soul here today deeply and concerned because of their sin and God's most holy word concerning their sin? And who is there that can help you and deliver you from that sin? as being faithful, I can but point as a finger post in one direction, and that is to Jesus only. He alone can do helpless sinners good. Therefore, there's neither mercy or remedy to be found in any other than Jesus only. I say, what a mercy that is, and that it is He that permits poor sinners to draw near unto Him. I often have used that word, the coming sinner, the coming sinner. And what do I mean by the coming sinner? Why, that sinner that hears the voice of Jesus and His voice only. What it is that voice, and only that voice, that causes him to come. Jesus teaches us so beautifully, if we'd only but listen to it. My sheep hear my voice. He tells us plainly that another will they not follow. And who then do they follow? They follow, my friends, Jesus only. And this morning I ask you this question. Yes, you may have been in the way of profession many years, but I say, who is it you are still following? Do you have to say this? Jesus only. You may be turning round and looking over your shoulder at what other people may be saying or thinking about you. Well, yes, they may be saying, they may be thinking all kinds of things about you. But at the end of the day, what they say and what they'll think will make no difference to your eternal destiny. But there is one, my friend, that will make that difference. And it's Jesus only. What a wonder that is. He is not influenced all by man. He's not influenced by the weight of opinion. No, nothing can turn him, nothing can alter him, nothing can persuade him to abandon what he has gloriously designed in what we call that covenant of grace. A covenant that which has gone into and entered by agreement. But you know, my friend, I want to point this out with regards to a covenant. If we make a covenant one with another, it is indeed an agreement, yes, between you. But my friend, Jesus, He did it for us. That is the wonder of it, isn't it? We could not enter into an agreement with God, because, my friend, we were destitute of righteousness. We were enmity to God. And indeed, we did not want reconciliation to God. We wanted our own way and to do our own thing. But I say, what has made that difference? Who has changed it? Why? Jesus only. Why? He comes. He speaks into a poor sinner's heart. And therefore, we have this distinct mark have we not? That we hear no other voice, we want to hear no other voice than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus warns us, doesn't he, that there'll be many voices saying, lo, Christ is here, and lo, Christ is there. And what does he say? Follow them not. That is plain enough, isn't it? Follow them not. Who will you follow? Will you follow them? Or are you brought to this place? Jesus only. Why say, him I will follow? All other voices, all other influences will lead us astray. But my friend, Jesus only, it is he that never leads us astray. He leads your poor sinful soul unto his own precious self. It's Jesus only that speaks to, as I say, the poor coming sinner. Why? We know indeed that it is Jesus only, by the direction in which we move. How are we moving? And what direction are we moving? I didn't say how fast you're moving, but my friend, he leads his people gently on, does he not? Jesus only. We know that this world will shortly come to an end. And then, where will we be found then? Shall we be found at God's right hand, my friend, or shall we be lost forever and ever? My friend, Jesus will never be found in hell, will he? Those who are found there will never be redeemed from hell. But those who are found in heaven will see him face to face, without a veil between. Jesus only. As we, I believe I spoke from those words a little while ago, that same Jesus. Jesus only. Why, who encountered us, engaged our hearts here below. He leads his people to a city whose builder and whose maker is God. Jesus only. Why? It is thus then he gives a desire. He gives a love to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be with him now and through eternity. What wonderful truth then this is with regards to the Holy Son of God, that there's none other besides the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus only is the head of his church. We speak about the national church and our Queen being the head, the figure of our national church. Well, the nonconformists have never agreed to that theory. Why? Because of Jesus only. The Roman Catholic Church, they say, why? The Pope is the head of their church. What he says goes. They say the Pope indeed has control over us all. My friend, What does he, in, where does Jesus come in his religion? We mustn't enter into this now. But my point is this. The true church, the one church of God. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the great federal head. Yes. And all the truths of salvation hang upon him and him alone. Oh, I say, the wonders of Jesus only. But I want to just go a little further here. It isn't just known en bloc. It's known to his people as individuals. Just see the tense in which it is spoken by Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. That is all his sheep. Each sheep has ears. Each sheep has life because Jesus gives it to them. The great question is then, has the Lord given to us hearing ears and understanding hearts? Has he given to us that life wherein we now desire to cast aside everything else that we clung and cleave to before? You come to this point, I want to know no other than Jesus only. That word, let him, has been much on my mind of late. In fact, I think I might have quoted it here. Hymn 1100. Let worldly minds the world pursue. It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too. But grace has set me free. We sing it. Do we believe it? I say, do we desire, Lord, bring me along this pathway, and let me, Lord, let all fruitless searches go. Its pleasures now no longer please, no more content afford. Far from my heart be joys like these. Now I have seen the Lord. The good hymn writer, he was in that place, he could say, I've seen the Lord. My friend, he'd seen Jesus only. I say, what is it that raises thee up by faith, that you see in Jesus that fullness, that greatness, that completeness to all his name, Jesus only? He says, here, creatures, no more divide my choice. I say, can we sing it? Jesus only. Jesus says this, except ye give up all others, wives, husbands, fathers, mothers, children, for my name's sake. You cannot be my disciple. It's when Jesus only is the central object of our love. My friend, that does not mean to say that we got to discard all those. No, but we love them. We love the Lord Jesus Christ before all others. Therefore I say, oh, will it not be a desire, oh, for our offspring, for those that we dearly love, that Jesus only may be their chiefest treasure and their chiefest desire. My friend, Jesus only, first and foremost. But I want to move slightly away from this line of thought, but not losing sight of Jesus only. His disciples, they were in trouble. They were greatly perplexed of what had happened to them. But my friend, it was Jesus that took them apart up into that high mountain. In other words, it was his appointment. And I'm sure of this, that his appointments are right and best for us. So when Peter said, it is good for us to be here, how accurate and how true that was. It may be, you say, it is good for us to be here. Why? They knew Jesus only. He was transfigured before them. They were shown indeed Moses and Elias, great figures in the Jewish church, weren't they? But Jesus would have them know this. No, there's no tabernacles for these men. These men are not to be worshipped. They indeed are those whom Jesus only was brought to a saving knowledge of the truth. And we in like manner need to be brought into a knowledge of the truth, even as Moses and Elias was. Friend, it speaks indeed then of union with the present church and the past church. What by? By Jesus only. This word unity, yes, is often used in the day in which we live, but sadly to say, I don't believe there's much knowledge of it. So how dare you say such a thing as that? Why, my friend? Because there cannot be union without Jesus only. Socializing, yes, and social facilities will not bring union. No. Because the very nature of man is not union. But when Jesus Christ, my friends, comes and reveals himself one and to another, then indeed they have something common one with the other. Why? Like the two men on the road to Emmaus, they could say, did not our hearts burn within us? Were we not affected by the same person, Jesus only? Now I say, why should we think for a moment that we need some other adjective in the Church of God today to bring union? Sadly to say, it's the world that's come into the church that's caused the disunity in the church, is it not? Oh, yes. But Jesus only brings unity. See the vying for the top place in which we live. See how indeed people want to be greater than others. My friend, what is absent, the teaching that Jesus only is the great thing and that's all important. Not just only in the congregations, but friend, in the ministry too. I say, I once knew a man, a well-known man, who used to boast that he was in the top 10 by counting up how many engagements he got. Where was Jesus in all that? We needn't look at others. We need indeed, oh, to be jealous for his honour and glory, that we may be kept and preserved from such a spirit as that. Why, Jesus only. I know no man likes to be a surplus to requirements, verily fearing that he is left in the marketplace unwanted, unrequired. But my friend, let us remember this. Jesus only. He guides and directs his people aright. Remember, he gives us that parable with regards to this, concerning those two sons. One son, he said, "Go, son, go and work in my vineyard." And he said, "No, sir, I won't do that." But afterwards he went, he relented. And another, he said, "Go and work in my vineyard." He said, "Yes, I'll go." But he never did go. I say, Jesus only. It is he that knows and he that discerns who goes and who does not go. It is Jesus only that changes our spirit, renews our will, and makes us submissive to his mind and will. Jesus only. Now I want to speak just a little here with regards to submission. Submission. We know that men can be brought into subjection by others by the power that they wield. Just like prisoners of war, they have to do just exactly as they're told. They're in submission to those who have captured them. But my friend, we can never speak of the submission to Jesus Christ like that, can we? It's a submission, my friends, of love. Yes, indeed it is. Submitting to Jesus' mind and will because of our love to him. Is it, why have I been so constrained? Why have I been so affected like this? Because of Jesus only, he that has made me willing. Not just only willing, but shall I say, he put a desire there. Do you really want to do what he wants you to do? It's a good question, isn't it, for you younger people, with regards to whether a thing is right or wrong. Is this just as Jesus would have me to do it? You wouldn't say, "Well, I'll do it partly, but wholly, completely, all his mind and all his will." If we say this, well, Jesus, I know, approves of this, but he may not approve of that. You won't be able to join the two things together, friend. No, it is Jesus only in the whole matter, from the beginning to end. It is Jesus that leads us, Jesus that teaches us to walk in his ways and his commandments. Jesus only. But I say, what about our state and our condition? What about all our abilities? Ah, oh, might that you say, well, that is a point I fear to come to. I am so poor and I'm so helpless. Yes, I believe the psalmist was so too. He's, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. I say, who is the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. I am poor and needy, yet he thinketh upon me. Friend, he knows that in and of ourselves we can do nothing. But Jesus thinks upon us, whereby he does everything for us. Oh yes, I shall never forget, soon after I was in the ministry, a man rudely and roughly came to me, took me by the lapels and said, do you realise, young man, what you've taken on for yourself? I was somewhat taken back. I said, well, I haven't taken on anything. He said, I understand you've gone into the ministry. I said, that's true. I said, but the Lord Jesus has undertaken to do everything for me. Friend, this is the way we have to walk, isn't it? Jesus only. He alone can help us. He alone can guide us. He alone can direct us. My friends, what a mercy that is. Oh, in our hopelessness and our helplessness. But how much more so, I say, when it comes to our sins and our faults and failings. Friend, who is it that can make wrong things right? You say, well, you can't do that. No. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes away that which is wrong and unacceptable, pardons and forgives the poor sinner, and there he leads them in paths of righteousness for his own namesake. It is Jesus only that can do this. It is he that shows us where we are wrong and what we have done wrong, our faults and failings. Did he not say unto Barak, seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not? My friend, truly, Barak was out to seek great things for himself. But it was Jesus only, my friend, that stopped him. It was God Almighty, he said, seek them not. So, my friend, the Lord may be curbing, quietening, and preventing you from some hideous pathway of temptation that might lay before you. Why, my friend, Jesus never leads his people into evil and temptation. In the Lord's Prayer, we have it like this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, Jesus only. He is the only one that can deliver us from temptation and from all evil. I say, is this thy prayer, tonight, today? For you know, when opportunity and inclination made it, we are in a dangerous situation. Oh yes. You younger ones may not quite understand what I am saying here, but you older ones surely will, perhaps, by experience. But my friend, it is Jesus only that can intervene and overcome all the evils of our heart. Why? I put it to you, younger ones, like this. When Abraham and Lot found they had difficulty because their shepherds and herdsmen had fallen out, because they wanted the best for the flocks that they were looking after. Abraham and Lot had a discussion about it, what they should do, and they agreed, well, one should go one way and one go another. They were not falling out, but they wanted peace between the families. Therefore, Abraham said, well, you choose, Lot, which way you would like to go. And Lot, well, he looked around and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. For in that direction, there were those well-watered plains. He said, well, he must have thought, well, my sheep will do well there. Oh, that's the way I will go. That is what we might say, a good business proposition. But Abraham went the other way. You say, well, you can't fall out with that. Ah, but wait a minute. If we truly fear God, if we truly seek real prosperity, we'll need God's blessing upon it, wherever we go, whatever we do. And if we can't ask God's blessing upon it, I say, then there's something wrong, is there not? Therefore, we find that he had the opportunity, didn't he, of going, and his inclination was, I want to have the best for myself. But where did it lead him? Friend, it led him to a place where God was not, where those evil practices, yes, which are so common today, were practiced. And God's anger burned against Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus only, my friend, can keep us these things. Jesus, my friend, can teach us what is the best for the future. Oh, yes. For remember, Lot went out with all his possessions and entered into Sodom with his possessions, but he came out with nothing. Great mercy, friend, even if he brings us out with nothing, except we have Jesus only. But what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his never dying soul? Why, Jesus only is so essential and so necessary. Having Jesus, says the hymn writer, what, just look at the store that I possess. Yes, Jesus only is so very, very needful. to guide us and direct us in the way that we take. So this is what I say, where inclination and opportunity meet, so Satan often leads his people into temptation. But Jesus only, he alone can guide and direct us in the best way. I've often said to young people, especially those who have had disappointments in friendships, God gives the best, that leaves the choice to him. Jesus only, my friend, he never makes a bad choice, does he? Jesus only teaches us in the way that we should go. Now listen, the God's people, his church, they're not stationary. They're not just parked here and parked there.